Hey, all you podcast listeners out there. This is Ian from the Futile Podcast. And I'd just like to tell you that we have been nominated in the general category for the Podcast Awards. So please go and vote for us in the general category at podcastawards.com. You could try Googling podcastawards.com. I think it's just podcastawards.com. I don't think there's a www. And yeah, vote Futile Podcast. So please vote. Voting starts October 23rd and ends November 8th. Welcome to the Futile Podcast. You can look us up on iTunes if you search Futile, F-U-T-I-E-L-E, F-U-T-I-L-E, podcast at gmail.com is the website. For the thing, I can't say this stuff anymore. It just depresses me too much.
Depresses you?
We never get any emails. We never get any comments. I always comment on all the other podcasts I listen to, and my little name has the link, and no one cares. Nobody cares. It makes me sad. At least we have people. We have people on our group, though. I don't want people. It's not about liking me. Hell, you might listen to it because you dislike me.
Ian, everything in life that you do is to make people like you.
You mean me specifically?
You specifically.
I try so hard. I try too hard, though. That's the problem. I need to be more cool and unlikable. Anyway, I try to be pretty unlikable. Well, I'm kind of a character.
Anyone who tries to be cool and unlikable wants people to notice them because they want to be liked.
Well, yeah, but everybody wants to be liked, right?
All life is about being liked.
Mainly by hot chicks, though.
Well, hot chicks are just
people. The epitome of it.
They're the epitome of it in general. The more attractive the person that likes you, the better your status and the greater you feel about yourself. You feel like you are something important in life.
The more easier it is to get engorged, I guess, yeah. Well, there you go. It comes down to it. Little life lesson there from the Futile Podcast. Be sure to send us an email if you agree or disagree at futilepodcast@gmail.com. Tonight, we are going to talk about the Incredible Hulk.
Let's make it brief with it because I don't think it was that interesting. It was the
remake of not a remake of the original Hulk movie. It was not a remake. Some people had said that it was supposed to be like a sequel to it, but it wasn't.
Well, you know, they've said that it's set in the same universe. It's technically a sequel, but it's very, 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 very loosely, to the point where it's...
You mean it's set in the same universe, there's another, Hulk
it's the same guy, and it's the same storyline, but it's separated so that you're not supposed to play that at all.
Okay, well, yeah, I guess so. Fine. You know what, if it's irrelevant, then it's irrelevant, and it's pretty irrelevant, because they basically start you off with the
And just like in Speed Racer, they did the cool thing where
they use the real stuff.
They shoot the flashbacks in the credits, and then you get the backstory. There you go.
Exactly. Bing. And it's awesome. And you get the green triangle laser on his face from the original series. Right.
When he transforms, you get the green eyes.
You get the green eyes.
You got the Lonely Man piano piece.
Mm-hmm. Lonely Man and the Hitchhiking.
Yeah.
You get, I really enjoyed the fact, I sound way too excited. I've just been in a really good mood with a lot of the movies I've been watching lately.
You know?
But, Bruce,
Boxleitner.
He was just on an episode of Heroes. I thought he was dead, but I guess he's not.
No, Bill Bixby's dead.
Bill Bixby.
Boxleitner's alive and well.
Yeah. Bill Bixby, he was watching something and trying to learn Portuguese, and it was Bill Bixby. And then later, Lou Ferrigno was security guard.
Which was totally awkward. And then they do one of these for no reason.
I liked it.
Oh, that's...
I didn't like the one of these necessarily, but I did like... I thought it was funny.
It had Stan Lee in the plot, too.
Yeah.
He actually had something...
He drank the thing.
The blood, yeah. But really, really quickly, I know you want to talk about this, but the only Stan Lee one that was actually good in any of them was when he was in the Iron Man one, and...
I don't remember. I have to rewatch that.
Tony Stark walks past him at this party and goes, "Hey, Hef, how's it going?" and he goes, "Huh?" That was it.
Like,
was
I'm like, not yeah. Hef. Yeah, yeah, I think that.
But he was wearing a bathrobe. He was wearing like a smoking jacket. That was the thing that was funny about it. Was it like he looked like he was going to say I'm not Hef, but he was there wearing a smoking jacket.
Marvel, I'm totally with it. I'm totally ready because Marvel is doing exactly what it's right because. And this is great. I mean, I really like Ed Norton as an actor, I think. Oh, I think you almost immediately empathize with him. He's always kind of, like, that. He was great in Fight Club, just being sort of the regular guy that gets pushed around. And in this, he's just sort of, you know, trying to figure stuff out. He's got gamma radiation poisoning. Mm-hmm. He's trying to learn how to calm down and not be able to control this thing. He can't get too excited. And, you know, it's basically the Hulk story, and the general is chasing after him, And then Tim Roth was great in it too, but it did feel like
I felt like the third act
was really rushed because it's like he runs into what's his name the doc who becomes
Brainiac or whatever is his that name is. I don't remember what the guy's name
the
is.
The Hulk does have a Brainiac, but he looks like a huge brain.
The Hulk, Hulk's bad guys are almost as stupid as Iron Man's.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering what they're going to do in sequels for these things.
They will just, who knows.
The only bad guys that are cool in the whole Marvel series were...
Magneto.
Spider-Man's were okay, but for the most part, yeah, the X-Men guys.
Yeah.
Daredevil world kind of has almost the same
with the Kingpin.
They trade back and forth with Kingpin and other people. Bullseye ended up going to Spider-Man a few times, like that. So like they had cooler bad guys, but Doctor Strange and for the most part the Avengers and Iron Man and the Hulk had stupid bad guys.
Doctor Doom is a cool bad guy, but the Fantastic Four is lame. The
Fantastic Four is pretty lame. Yeah.
Which like even so, like I'm sitting there and I'm like looking at the wholeness of the Marvel universe and the way that the X-Men has been fucked up and the way the Fantastic Four is stupid. I haven't seen the second one. Fantastic Four just is stupid though, so it's like I'm still like everything still works in the continuity as far as I'm concerned. Like they could still have Hugh Jackman be in the Avengers movie for 10 minutes as Wolverine, and I'm like that's fine. It's all one world. So basically, it's him and Betty and. I didn't mind what's her name as much as
Liv Tyler.
Liv Tyler, I thought she was kind of funny. She's like, "What?" He throws all the stuff in her purse on the bed. He's like, "Okay, you can't use any of this." And she's like, "Really? I can't. They can track us with my lip gloss." And he's like, "Well, okay, no, they can't." And that was maybe more of an Ed Norton thing. It was almost like the Fight Club thing where he's like, "Well, okay, yeah, you know, he's apologetic," and he's like, "I like that." Right. It's kind of a Woody Allen thing.
So basically, what you're saying is you want to have sex with Ed Norton. You're not really saying anything about Liv Tyler and your fish face.
No, she thought she had a fish face.
Horse fish, whatever.
She doesn't look like a horse.
She kind of looks like a horse had sex with a fish.
I don't think she looks like Tyler. I'm usually really like really
critical
of women, and I don't think she looks because
you're a
misogynist. Yeah, exactly. I know we covered all this. Oh, I believe in love. I just don't think. I think it takes more than love.
It takes more than cracking teeth.
It takes something.
I think you cracked a few teeth and you got love.
Don't make me put
my. I go around punching chicks in the face just to see what's going to happen.
Nope. Gotta put in your time. You gotta pound the pavement.
Yeah, you gotta pound some teeth, man.
But yeah, I mean, really, it's just about an excuse for a big fight at the end, which he. And then the big fight with the Abomination. And nothing gets resolved.
No one
gets killed. And so the Abomination is still around. They just kind of do the work to get you to the next step for, like, the Avengers movie.
It had an interesting look for the first two acts, too. There was...
Yeah. I think that's really where I was enjoying it. It was just, like, just this intrigue stuff and this great location.
The locations were very cool. And even when they went back to the States and the stuff was at the college and everything like that, They did something very good with the greens to make it all really pop, and it was very more like comic book colory. It sucks to keep having to compare this to the Ang Lee movie because the Ang Lee movie is not that bad. It's headache inducing at times, and it's really way too dark and dreary and depressing.
It's got the whole thing about like his dad being abusive,
the abusive dad thing is really very twisted.
I mean,
it is, and it makes it. I mean, technically, that's probably a deeper, better drama movie, but it's not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a deep, better drama movie. It's about a comic book thing.
And they
did it great in this. They just show him he had some gamma stuff, he had some problems. Then when he has rage, he blows up. Everyone has rage.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
I like when he's getting trained by the guy with the slapping him in the face.
And he's like,
the guy just hits him again.
That was cool. But the weirdest thing for me was that look was like watching the first two halves of, or acts. I was like, this look is really great, and I had to keep reminding myself that it was the guy who directed the Transporter.
Yeah,
and right. I was like, you know, he's not bad visual director. I'll go ahead and say.
No, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the look
from the school of Luc Besson.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I guess the ending is just all about setting you. I don't know. I'm probably enjoying Iron Man and the Hulk and stuff a lot more because other than the TV show for the Hulk, I don't really know anything about. I'm not as connected to them like from comics. I'm right. connected to Spider-Man a little. I'm connected to X-Men a lot. Like that was probably my favorite comic, one of my favorites.
Spider-Man's story is universal.
Yeah, yeah.
The Hulk's is. I mean, you get his basic thing, but you don't know so much about his alter ego character.
And the truth is that like once like the Hulk, the main Hulk thing is resolved, like I don't know, like in the comic or whatever, and he's just like, yeah, you're the Hulk. You know, once the whole hunt for him is done and, you know, all that stuff, then it's, and he's not, doesn't have to hide who he is, then it's kind of like, well, what are you, you just got a big green guy that can punch him.
It's actually, he grew more interesting in the comics to the point where they have him now. It sounds stupid, but stay with me. He goes off into space.
I know, and then he gets sucked down a wormhole, and that's how Civil War starts, right? Yeah, I'm going to read that.
And
I'm going to
totally back read with some people and stuff, but basically, after they resolved his very general thing, which never really gets resolved, it kind of goes in and out. Like he's always struggling with the fact that he has this thing inside.
Well, yeah,
and
yeah,
he
yeah.
finds ways to get rid of it, but then that doesn't work, and then he finds that he needs it mm-hmm. with himself because and for various reasons. But the thing that starts happening in the universe is he becomes outcast within the whole Marvel superhero community mm-hmm. because he takes certain stands against certain people. It's generally Iron Man. Iron Man's the fascist.
Yeah, Iron Man and Captain. Well, that's the Civil War thing. Yeah, I'm going to read that. I'm going to read that and then we'll report back. But anyway, so, you know, it ends with him in Canada and I guess it's like he's learning to control it and that's mm-hmm. cool. You know, he's like, he smiles when like he activates it at the end of the movie.
He's now able to actually control.
And I guess that might have something to do with the injections that he got. That kind of they thought they'd cured him.
Maybe.
But they
yeah,
didn't.
He can actually control it at times. Like,
and he can talk a little bit.
Yeah,
he can say Hulk smash.
Hulk smash. Yeah,
which is great. I mean, wasn't that the deal? Was that like the Purple Hulk was like Hulk but with brains when they first did it? The Gray Hulk, yeah. And then Green Hulk is.
There are various other ones, yeah. And there was one arc a long time ago.
You told you love the comic, the detective.
There was a detective one, yeah. And he was this like really soft spoken, like well mannered, intelligent Hulk. And it was like really stupid, you know. But like,
did he wear a fedora? Cool.
He did.
Stuff?
He wore like a trench coat and a fedora.
That's
and
awesome.
He was like 15 feet tall.
I gotta find that.
And yeah, it was during a time when they had names like it was Mr. Gray or something like that. But basically. It just took over, and I wouldn't let Banner come back. It was just like, this is me. You know, you can stay in there, and I'm just going to be this
like
for a while.
Persona
and he never came back. You know, like, and eventually, like, they did stupid stuff like they always do in the arcs. Like, Tony Stark at one point died, and he came back from some other dimension, and that's the Tony Stark who's there now. It's the same guy, but, like, you know.
Yeah.
And then they also do the same thing with Hulk. Like, Banner died and came back. You know, they kill
I get
everybody.
A little sick
they
of
kill
that
everybody
stuff.
At some point. Bring
I'm trying
to sell comics.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to read. I'm trying to catch up with my X-Men
they've killed
stuff.
Xavier. They've killed Cyclops. They've killed Jean Grey.
I'm going to. Yeah, well, they killed Phoenix.
The only person you can't kill is Wolverine.
Yeah.
They've had Wolverine have, like, a nuclear blast or something blow every single... everything off his bones, and then he still comes back alive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a bit much. Anyway, I'll get to all that at some point.
Wolverine is my favorite.
I totally want to
get to say.
Well, yeah, when I was a kid, I liked
him. He's
just
got the coolest thing, man.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. I'm trying to think who my favorite, like, I always liked Cyclops just because he always seemed
Cyclops.
Like the leader
yeah,
that just
like
had to
Cyclops.
Suffer. Yeah.
My God.
Which is why I like the Daywalkers.
I like Wolverine and Night. I like Wolverine and Nightcrawler.
That'll be perfectly honest. Like,
Wolverine and Nightcrawler are cool.
Nightcrawler was...
That call is sweet. He's a Catholic.
Yeah.
He believes in God. I related with that, except
the
part.
The
and
intro,
he could teleport, and he was mostly happy.
The intro of Nightcrawler in the second X-Men movie
was
awesome. Because it was like, that's what you could do if you knew your shit as a teleportation.
The second one was the best. I really sucked
it was
the
very
one happened.
Yeah, the third one. It was like, honestly, it felt like somebody was like given like one third of a script and then like, okay, we need to wrap this up.
Yeah,
and like, okay,
they
cure him and then they get injections and...
What's the next scene with Cyclops? Ah, forget it.
He's dead, yeah.
What does say he died right there? Ah,
they never used
him. Matter.
They never used him well enough in my opinion that. I mean, it was fine in the second one because there was a lot happening,
yeah.
But... Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah. That was my favorite character just because I always felt like his struggle with was always like with sinister and being manipulated and being sort of detached from things and kind of having to kind of ride between both sides. And he was Cyclops. I just felt like his plus the idea that like he, I mean, his eyes are his only real strength. And you never really get a sense of how strong, powerful that really is, but apparently it's
every time
very
they knock,
powerful.
They, every five issues in the comic, they would knock off his thing, and then there would be a thing saying, like, no one understands how powerful he is until the thing is unleashed.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like this massive thing.
He destroyed Apocalypse in X-Factor 67 or something, like, which is the famous issue where he sent his son back into the future, and that he became Cable. But other than that, you know, hardly ever see him do anything super badass. But back to Hulk, yeah, it just sort of ends that's the ending of the Hulk story, but then it turns out that the general's sitting there watering his sorrows, played by William Hurt. Is that general become, like, really involved in, like, the rest of the storyline?
He's always pretty much his main bad guy.
He's, like, his foil, but...
Yeah.
But
They kind of blew their wad by having him say, like, you're a necessary evil in this world. I'll kind of stand back while you do what you have to do, because I know now you're not trying to murder my daughter, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll see, yeah. And then Stark walks in, and the Stark cameo, I didn't know what the cameo was. I know that at the beginning when they're doing the backstory stuff, they show all these, like, paperwork stuff, and you can see Stark Industries, and then you see Nick Fury real quick. His name is on some file.
And the way they're...
And you hear about S.H.I.E.L.D., apparently the general is part of
the way they're
mixing
all together is they're having things with, like, the Captain America serum being something that was Banner's team was working on when he got, which is
no they worked on it in WW2, and then there was viable bit of it left that they used on what's his name, they used it on Tim Roth. I'm imagining that's the same serum,
right? But the thing that he was supposedly working on when they had the gamma radiation thing happen was something in that vein.
Well, it was another it was another soldier weaponization
right,
basically. Yeah, he didn't know that though,
right? This is all from the
The
Ultimates type thing, because when they did that they tried really hard to meld them all together in a way that made
I'm gonna catch up more on the Ultimates, because I've read Ultimate X-Men, but I totally want to get into the whole thing, because it sounds
the
like
actual Ultimates,
the way that they structured
is pretty awesome. It's pretty dark too. They kill a lot of people.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like, I guess, the Hulk goes crazy and stuff. I want to read it, so I'm gonna get into that. I think in the Ultimate Verse, I've heard when people die, then they're dead. But you know, that's just because they're only 100 issues in. You know, eventually they'll bring some people back, maybe, but who knows? But it ends with Stark basically saying, we're building a team. And so it's almost like, it clearly, it's like, boom, they're getting ready to just keep doing stuff. And it's like Stark's cameo isn't even really a cameo. It's not. I thought it was going to be maybe like him in an office building noticing something happening, and it would be like he'd make a phone call or something stupid like that. It was quick and very throwaway. But instead, it's like the final like scene in the movie. And it's like, wow, that's kind of cool. They really just keep the ball rolling on it. And so I guess that's where they're going to go. And they've got all these people set up to do it. And that's cool. I really appreciate that. I really like that. Because when you get good people working on these projects, then they can do good stuff. And they've got good source material. Because, I mean, even not every single comic book that's ever been written is great. And, you know, but if you've got 60-plus years of stories to delve into, then you've got some really great epic stuff that you can play with and have
fun. I still have a problem with the idea of them going all the way through to an Avengers thing, just because, they're getting the major motivations and character arcs out of the way for these things before they get to that, so that they don't have to spend as much time on it when it comes into it.
Do you think it's just going to be like a completely like idiotic movie?
Well, that's my worry is, you know. But they still have to have some sort of arc in there for certain characters. Can they do it for all? Can they do it for Thor and Hulk and Iron Man and Captain America and whoever else is in there?
I don't know who's that. The Hulk's in the Avengers?
I mean, he has been in time. They've all been in
time.
Yeah,
so is the Beast. They'll have Kelsey Grammer in it again, too, probably. Gosh. Well, that'd be fine. He could be like a paper pusher. No, I think that'll be part of it. The thing that's real make or break for me is handling Captain America. That they handle that right. Because to me, that's like the most interesting aspect of it. You've got the guy coming from... He's a fish out of water. He's coming from a different era. Yeah. And I've heard that the first movie is going to be in WW2.
That's what they were saying. I don't know.
And I don't know. Now I've heard maybe it's gonna partially going to be that way, but who knows? Anyway, if they did almost the whole first movie in WW2, then his motivations are to help win that war. And that's it. But then you get a whole fresh arc for the Avengers for him. And he would be... Because he's like...
the leader of the Avengers. He's the main guy. And
at times it's him, at times it's Stark.
Well, Stark is different. See, Stark is like this corporate, like, weapons manufacturer.
But at times when Captain America has been either dead or gone or whatever, then they...
I could see them switching that. And basically, that's what Civil War is all about. Is it's about him and Stark coming to heads against each other about this...
Well, it's about the Registration Act.
They got to introduce Creed running for president. Sabretooth's... Well, they fucked up with Sabretooth in the first movie. They totally did. They made him, like, some non-character. Like, he's supposed to have a huge backstory with Wolverine and everything else.
Well, he's Liev Schreiber in the Origins.
Huh? Oh, in the movie? Yeah. They're going to redo... Liev Schreiber's going to be Sabretooth? Yeah. The guy from Scream and stuff? Oh, and Sphere?
Oh, yeah.
And that, like, Walk on the Moon movie?
Yeah, he's sweet. I love Liev Schreiber.
Oh, he's cool, but I just don't see him as Sabretooth.
He looks all angry and stuff. He can do it. What, does he have long, blonde hair?
No, I don't know what it is. His face seems too, kind of...
Compact?
Yeah, kind of, he's got kind of a fat face. It doesn't seem like an angry guy's face. Buff. I'm sure he can pull it off.
Claws and stuff?
Rawr. The Wolverine. It's a Wolverine Origins movie going to be the Wolverine Origins story where he's like
it's a Weapon X thing.
Oh, it's Weapon X. It's not going to be the sickly Victorian era kid.
There's always things in those to make you think that this may be an alternate.
Yeah,
you know, they always do the Wolverine thing because they always kind of want to leave it somewhat shrouded in mystery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they never just want to answer it and be done with it and have something new to do. Yeah, the Wolverine thing is kind of tired.
Wolverine's sweet.
It's cool.
Shut up about Wolverine.
I'm not saying bad things about it. It's just it does get annoying when they
the keep coolest thing about him is that not. You know, they've all got terrible problems. They've all had murdered family members and all of them. You know, they're all orphans and junk.
Uh-huh.
But Wolverine, like, is just like sarcastic and a dick about it, and he just kind of handles his own, and he smokes some cigars, and
yeah.
And the rest of them are like mopey and whiny, and they try to deal, but then they have like breakdowns.
They are, but I've been reading.
Wolverine doesn't have breakdowns, man.
He does a little bit after he gets that adamantium pulled out of him. That's a pretty pissy time. He's like, the old knucklehead's gonna have to go up north for a while, Jubes, and deal with the problems in my life. And I've actually been in the comics I've been reading recently, which is sort of the 10-year-old X-Men comics, leading up to the Onslaught, which I remember being pretty much the last bit of X-Men that I ever read. I'm surprised by how much, like, the writers throw in the whole, like, them talking about their feelings. Like, the characters almost all are talking about the feelings, and I'm like, this is stupid. Even Wolverine, I'm like, this is dumb. I want to get to the stuff. You know, I think that there's a sea change in the way they write comics at a certain point.
I hate Gambit. Never say that.
I don't like him either.
You knew that about me?
But he's supposed to be a bad guy, I think. Like, Sinister and him have got some history. And I think eventually
In that X-Men Origins thing.
Is it X-Men Origins or Wolverine Origins?
X-Men Origins.
Yeah, well, that's fine. It's a character. Whatever. If you can make it work, make it interesting.
I think Magneto's a great character also because...
Oh, yeah.
Because he's more of like almost... an anti-hero type thing.
He's totally got the struggle, too.
He does, and he mostly uses it for bad. Like, it's the might is right thing, and Xavier's the bleeding heart liberal,
Partially, it's more just Magneto is fed up, and he's got a reason for it. I mean, his tolerance reaches a point, and then he calms down, and he's like, you know, I'm gonna go do my own thing. I'm gonna go to the Savage Land, and you leave me the fuck alone, and everything will be fine.
But there
and
are then also,
shit comes to him.
There are also times when he actively chooses to side with right against bigger threats and things like that.
Yeah.
Because his...
Well, he took over. He was like a leader of the X-Men. I think he's done it a couple of times.
Well, I think that was in the House of M things that you're talking about.
I'm not sure if that's...
That was another alternate thing. Oh, like, it ended up being something where, like, the Scarlet Witch had done something to make...
there is a period where during the New Mutants thing he took over for Xavier when Xavier was in the Shi'ar Imperium for a while, and then he dropped the ball, and then Storm was sort of the leader of the X-Men, and then they go through the Siege Perilous.
Storm sucks.
Storm did suck, and she basically had to admit that she was not a good leader because the original founding members were off in X-Factor, and then they came, and then they brought it all back, and that was when they started the X-Men series that was just called X-Men, the comic book. Mm-hmm. That which was great. It was like always the best X-Men comic book. It always had like the best writing and the best art. and usually had to deal with the best the most interesting characters. I get a little leery when they have too many different books, because then it's like they got to put so much more filler in, you know? It's like, yeah, instead of it just being like, it's this and it's about this and it's about this.
Well, when it comes down to it, I mean, you know, there's things you can like and dislike about the major label comics, because there are so many stories, and
yeah,
you know, you can say the same thing about Batman. They've got all the different things going at the same time and different storylines, but they're supposed to be in the same universe. And
I'm trying to play catch up on a lot of that stuff, but at the same time, it's kind of like, yeah, I need to know what I can skip. You know, like I just read like a 2-part Uncanny thing that had to do with like finding some medicine to save one of them that had been nearly killed by Sabretooth. Oh, they just killed Sabretooth in the version that I'm reading. I'm sure he's back alive.
Was it the one where Wolverine killed him?
No. It started with Wolverine giving him the lobectomy with the claw. And then the M-Cron crystal froze at the world. And then it was Age of Apocalypse, where Sabretooth's actually a good guy and Magneto is the leader and everything.
Now, they in one of the universes, I don't remember which series it's in, but
In the Ultimate Universe, Wolverine decapitates
him, but he ends up coming back, because as they show in the like they show a string of skin still holding his head on when it goes through. You're meant to think he just cuts it off, but like apparently the string of skin, you know, is that whole sort of thing. He ends up coming back.
That's later. Gay. Yeah.
It's also kind of cool that they would actually go so far as to. That's the thing, is like, you got these major characters, you just can't kill them off. That's the thing, like, the more you get into these major comics, the farther down the road it gets, it becomes more and more impossible for them to actually kill someone. That's why Captain America is coming back. That's why,
you know, eventually
they don't for like issues now.
It's
like,
still dumb though. It's like
they kill Superman, ooh, there's some big sales, guess what, Superman's not really dead, here he is. Yeah, surprise,
big deal. And then he's all gay,
they just killed his dad.
Superman's dad?
Yeah,
Superman's dad's
Earth's
been
dad.
Oh,
in the comic.
You mean he just finally died from old age? Like,
he had a heart attack. Heart attack.
Oh man, Superman versus cholesterol.
They were making a big deal about the fact that the actual comic and all the things that spawned it have already killed off his dad. His dad died in 1, 2, 3.
The first action comics?
No. The movies.
The movie. Glenn Ford. Yeah, okay. He's racing him, and then it gives him whole motivation to feel like, you know, like maybe he kind of is responsible.
And then in Smallville, last year they killed off his dad.
Well, 2 years ago they killed off Schneider. Yeah, they killed off one of the Duke boys.
Right. So they've killed him in all
incarnations,
except for the actual comic that spawned the whole thing.
They hadn't killed him in Justice League yet.
The animation
in the DC animation show. They never did that one. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, though. That's another thing. It's another incarnation.
Oh, Ian.
Yeah, I don't even know where it's going with this comic book. Jesus. Agent Forever. I don't even want to know what's going on with Batman. I'd heard the whole RIP thing, and I'm curious, but I'm also... It sounds like maybe I should give up on trying to play catch-up on DC with the 52 and the Infinite Crisis Earths
and stuff. I tried reading the synopsis of the whole deal, and it's pretty freaking complicated. Crazy.
Yeah. You just went on Wikipedia and went like Crisis on Infinite Earth, and then two pages.
But not just that, but you link to more and more things.
Uh-huh,
and each one
uh-huh,
tells you
more.
This comic's about this and this guy. The thing they do in DC very well that Marvel hasn't found a way to do so much, because Marvel insists on using the major characters for people to kill off and stuff. So DC is able to... They have things like when Infinite Crisis happened, or whatever the hell it was.
But didn't one of those happen like 10 years ago?
Yeah, but then there was another one. And there was one before that that was like 20 years ago.
Those all matter, like, still?
They do, because each one fixes the last one.
Oh, okay.
Because they just create more problems than mm-hmm. already existed. And there were a lot of problems that already existed. Because there was this guy was still alive and this guy was dead. But they're that both, you know, they're both the
which,
Green Lantern.
Which Green Lantern?
Yeah. So, anyway, they had Black Adam, which is the cousin of Shazam, Barry, whatever his name is, Batson, Barry Batson.
Okay.
That's the kid who is Shazam.
The little kid?
Yeah, and I don't know, he was an adult by now. In Kingdom Come, he was an adult.
Well, then he wouldn't be in the regular, because right, Kingdom Come is like in the future. 20 years in the future.
By the way, I forget the guy's name, but he
I don't remember. Artist. It starts with a G, I think.
Gorgeous art. That was the most beautiful comic book I'd ever read. Kingdom Come was fantastic.
Well, like each one of those is like a painting, though, right?
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's like
but he does it with, it's a certain type of art. It's called anyway. So they had Black Adam. Like, basically, he becomes the main super big bad guy who, like, creates this country and all those things happen. And then at the end, you're able to kill him off. And it ends the dramatic tension. And in the Marvel thing, what they do is, like, oh, damn, we got to either kill off Magneto or Captain America or somebody. And then you got to bring him back. And that becomes a problem. And DC, they'll, you know, if they run out of ideas 15 years from now, they'll bring back Black Adam. If they even actually killed him, I don't remember. They might have sent them to a dimension or some garbage.
You're like saying that DC will take their, like, minuscule villains and elevate them.
You elevate him for an arc, and then everyone's like, oh, who is this guy? Whoa, he's pretty bad. Oh, they killed him.
Yeah, that's actually...
That way Lex Luthor can continue to...
Continue to be Lex Luthor. Yeah. No, I like that approach.
Or they give an alternate universe thing to Frank Miller and he kills off everybody.
Yeah. Well, see, I almost think, like, I mean, they do it already anyway, where they restart the comics. They can only handle to have so many issue numbers. Mm-hmm. Like, the only ones that haven't done that, like, Uncanny X-Men's still around. I think Amazing Spider-Man's still around. Action Comics, the oldest, is still around. It's in, like, yeah, what, like 900 or something? And Batman is still around, and Detective Comics are still around. With the numbers that they had, but everything else restarts, like X-Factor's in like X-Factor version 3 or something.
Well, but the thing is, it's not the universe where the continuity is restarting. It's just that the series that tells a certain story arc is restarting.
Exactly.
So it's the same character but you never really get the indication of like what timeline anything is supposed to be in. I guess it's all supposed to be continuous.
Yeah,
but
to a degree.
But they don't necessarily have to be if it's a separate series.
Well, whatever. I like the continuousness. I like the fact that there's consequences and that you build up to stuff. I mean, it really does make it matter. But it does suck that, yeah, they'll kill people off and then they'll bring them back. Constantly and constantly and constantly. Because there's no consequences. Thank you for listening, and we're going to keep on doing this. It sounds like it'll be fun. Vote Futile Podcast in the general category of the Podcast Awards between October 23rd and November 8th. Thank you.